Welcome to Breakfast for Dinner, everybody. Guess what? If you've been here the last few weeks, I've never been able to see my guests. It's always been frozen. That's not the case this week, so I'm psyched. And I'm joined this week by Jen and Kate, the sister-in-law super team behind the podcast called Camping is Canceled. So, Jen and Kate, thank you so much for joining me today.
Oh, thanks for having us.
Yeah. I've been following their page on Instagram and listening to the podcast as I get a chance. I don't have a ton of time, but I thought it would be great to have, another true crime, a couple of true crime fans on, and we'll just kind of hang out and chat and keep an eye on our chat as well. So if you're joining this chat, this live stream, drop some comments in, say hello, and we'll be keeping an eye on those as we go. But Jen, Kate, why don't you tell us a little bit to start just about Camping is Canceled. What's the name come from and how long you've been doing the podcast?
We've been doing the podcast since May 2023. Mm-hmm. So it's been a couple years, which I can't believe it's been already. Camping is Canceled is just meant to be kind of a fun, like, hey, this story we're about to tell you is so terrible, you're not going to want to go outside afterward. And it's kind of a way to, I don't know, poke fun at the love of the outdoors, which, I mean, we do enjoy the outdoors, but also,
within reason.
Within reason. And we kind of have a aesthetic that we enjoy, which is kind of like retro, campy 1970s, and that just kind of
like a nod to the slasher films.
That's where my brain went, kind of in a sense too, right?
Yes. That's bad things always happen on camping trips at summer camp in movies and crime shows, so it's canceled.
as kind of a nod to our cancel culture, as we like to call it too.
We have gotten a couple of reviews, not many, but overwhelmingly positive, but a couple being like, I hope Camping is Canceled is canceled because you guys suck. Thank you for your engagement.
We're a nervous laugher, so we get yelled at for laughing at inappropriate moments when we're laughing. Out of uncomfortableness.
Yeah.
That's so great. We got a guy on here right now called I'll Make You Uncomfortable. So
yes.
And I'm sure he'll do that before the night is over. He always does. Okay. But yeah, laughing at things that you're not supposed to laugh at is something that I've always kind of done. And I mean,
I laugh when I'm scared, when I'm sad.
There have been a few family funerals where Caitlin and I have both had to be in attendance
and sitting by each other.
We could not make eye contact.
Oh man,
That was really, really rough.
That's dangerous.
Thinking of
one was directly a scene out of The Office.
It really was.
Yeah.
Our husbands were sitting in front of us and the pew was like bending in with all their weight. And we're just like,
dangerous. One of the worst moments of my entire life was I was at a Christmas Eve service in this fairly small church. And I was sitting in the very front row and this man got up to sing. He was singing O Holy Night.
Oh, no.
He had this look on his face. He was no more than 3 feet in front of me, 5 feet maybe in front of me. And he had this look on his face, this strained look as he was hitting these notes in his neck. It was the hardest thing I'd ever done in my life not to laugh out loud because there would have been no hide from it. And I was concentrating so hard that I began to sweat. I was literally exhausted after he sat down, and my girlfriend at the time, anyways, she laughed out loud.
Oh no!
And I held it together, but afterwards I felt like I had been beaten up and like I needed to lie down because it took all of my energy, like a big workout or something, to not laugh in the guy's face. So
emotional labor is a real thing.
Yeah, let's check in the comments here. I laughed at my grandpa's service. Felt awful. Yeah, that's pretty bad.
It was our husband's grandpa.
Yeah. Oh, if we somebody very, very elderly, it was their time. It was
the whole funeral was truly chaotic.
Yeah.
Jeez. They kept saying our name, our last name wrong. They said it like 10 different ways.
I think
lights were flashing.
It was like,
that's kind of bullshit at a funeral.
Oh, it was. Yeah.
Like get the name right, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like it was. I'm pretty sure not a single person was happy with the outcome of that funeral.
Yeah.
So
family members were like not speaking to each other. There was drama. I think somebody actually was like, had a concealed carry unnecessarily. It was about as like redneck as you could get.
It was
Easter and Christmas decorations were still up.
I'm Canada, so when you guys say concealed carry, and I go, yeah, of course, it's, you know, US of A, baby. But yeah, most of my viewers are United States. Who's happy at the outcome of the funeral, though? Okay, so on the topic of death. So we cover one thing I kind of wanted to chat about a little bit today with some other people who do true crime.
Mm-hmm.
Is, I don't know about you, but there's times often I find myself editing my episodes or researching or writing pretty late at night.
Mm-hmm.
And I can find myself at times getting sucked into the, even though I'm doing a comedy episode, where I go, oh my God, fucking hell.
Mm-hmm.
Like, ugh, what am I doing? Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. This is so dark and so disturbing. And it like, mm-hmm. it gets under my skin at times, even though I'm kind of looking on the lighter, not to say the lighter side of things, because there really isn't. But like,
mm-hmm.
What about you? Do you ever find yourselves in that situation where you're talking mm-hmm. about something and you go, what are we doing? Come on. This is, why are we putting ourselves through this?
Like, I mean,
absolutely.
The most recent case we did, the Dyatlov Pass incident.
Mm-hmm.
I was just laying in bed after we had recorded part one. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to see the map of like their camping setup and distance and everything. That's all I wanted to see. And I'm laying next to my 8-month-old baby who's sleeping. And I'm going through pictures, and all of a sudden, it's a picture of the body that was found. And his mm-hmm. eyes were gone, and I just didn't, I was like, why the fuck? Yeah. Why am I doing this? Like, I need positive means. I need happiness. Yeah. Like, the world is so shitty. Why am I at midnight, like, looking up
mm-hmm.
crime scene pictures?
Yeah.
So why do you think you are?
Morbid curiosity. I mean.
Yeah. I think it's kind of hard to fully answer that, but it goes back to why we originally got into true crime, just from like an interest standpoint, mm-hmm. leading to telling stories. And it's because Caitlin and I think anybody who's into true crime, and I'm sure you too, there's something about it in those stories where you always have the worst of humanity mm-hmm. and the best of humanity, whether it be in the way that it elicits a response in yourself, in getting to witness the response of the victim's family and the investigators, but in a way that just, it's like a way of holding yourself accountable to, I don't know, like, I feel like I'm not saying it very well, but you know what I'm trying to say.
I get what you mean. I also think a reason why we do it and why we're interested in it is it's a form of taking control for ourselves mm-hmm. and like preparing ourselves and our, like, I mean, we have kids now, and it's, the world is a crazy, crazy place. And mm-hmm. I mean, it's just mm-hmm. preparing. It's like you said, paying homage to the victims mm-hmm. and not glorifying the sick people, but also like, I'm pretty sure we've gotten a comment before, a mean comment about how we sympathize with like we'll sympathize with killers in their young stages. Cause we'll explain somebody from like their childhood up. And I mean, they were a child at one point, and I think you can have sympathy for that child while also despising who they became.
It's a really an invitation to look at the whole picture of what makes somebody become who they become, whether it is somebody who's evil, somebody who you know, is solving a crime. And I think that allowing yourself to feel that nuance of emotion and see what you are responding to is important, because I think either we overconsume or we don't consume enough. You know, we kind of put our heads in the sand. And I also appreciate the way that you approach telling stories, Josh, because I, as somebody who uncomfortably laughs and and always sees dark humor in situations, just because of things we've both been through in our life, we respond with dark humor. You can't understand it unless you've been through it, and it's not coming from a place of disrespect for the people who went through that. You know, you're not making fun of the worst day of someone's life. You are just making fun of life. And that's
That was some really great insight for sure. I mean, there's, you know, like, not getting too personal, but my dad died when I was like 17. And like, you join that kind of exclusive group of like, you can make fun of it, right? Like, not make fun of it, but there's jokes there. Like, I made some jokes in my dad's funeral, like not at his expense. Well, sort of.
Hey, but even funerals, sort of. Like we just mentioned, we commented on this. Funerals are for the living, so it's for you and your grief processing and whatnot. So
I mean, I just did an episode last that released on last Friday. It was on Wade Wilson, the killer who, the Deadpool guy with the face tats and all that. I started that episode by saying, listen, like, I understand the irony of this video is not lost on me. I am making a video about Wade Wilson to complain about people talking about Wade Wilson, and like, you know, or but at the same time, like, I try my best. I've been accused over and over, like, people I think honestly it's people who haven't actually watched any of the actual content who will give me the comments of like, quit glorifying these people and blah 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 and blah blah blah. But I really don't, I really don't ever glorify anybody in my own opinion. My opinion, I mean, you're welcome to your own opinion, and like, all opinions, I want all opinions on my channel, and I welcome all the comments out there. And you have to have a bit of a thick skin when you kind of do what we do, because people will tell you you're the worst thing that ever happened to them just for being on their screen. You know, they could be really, really, really mean. I've had some really mean comments posted at me and some uncult stuff, but like, you just gotta let it roll off. And I always argue that, like, I still think that the channels, well, I'm not gonna badmouth channels, but like, ones that, like, there's so many channels out there that will, on YouTube and stuff, that will just throw up the most disturbing photo that they have and dwell on that and talk about that. And it's like, it's like rubbernecking at a car accident. Like, you got to look at it and stare at it. And to me, that, that in a way is a lot more kind of glorifying or, sensationalizing something than me saying that, I don't know, that some stupid joke that I make about how dumb Wade Wilson looks with his stupid ugly face tats. You know what I mean? Like,
but. Because I think there's, in doing that, and we have talked about it too on the podcast, when we will kind of make fun of the absurdity of what some of these perpetrators of crime do, or even make fun of their features or like something weird about them. It's a way of taking the power that they think they have away from them, because so many of these men and women think that they see themselves in a certain way, or that the world sees themselves in a way, and they want to be idolized, and they want to be kind of this object of dark fascination. But if we are able to be like, you're actually a huge fucking loser.
Yeah.
And that is a way that, and maybe that's not for the victim or the family members of victims, and that is okay. Because
they do
not have to agree with how we choose to tell stories. We do our best to tell stories in a way that is always honoring and centering and being respectful of the lives of those victims, and highlighting who they were in life more than sensationalizing their death. But death, or even if they're a survivor, what they went through is part of a larger story that has all these little bits and pieces. So it's never just like one thing or the other. It's always something very complicated. And
our viewers don't see us crying. They don't see us like the edited parts out of us talking about how depressing the episode is. I mean, our people will find us. So
That's kind of what I think too. The audience for it is there. You just gotta find it. I've never once made light of a actual crime or made a joke or made any joke. Period. At a victim's expense ever.
I think
when I first started out, because I started out, my first episode was November 2022. When I first started out, like, there was a period of time where it was kind of like trying to find my footing and find where that line kind of was.
Oh, yeah.
And I think there's probably once or twice where I stepped over and but I think I've kind of like honed in on that line a little bit better now, and I have a better understanding of how I handle the writing and how I handle the tougher subjects and stuff like that. And then there's certain cases that I just won't touch because I'm just like, there's no angle in for me.
I didn't think
I would be able to do Albert Fish. I don't know if you've heard of Albert Fish.
We were literally, I was dying laughing before we got on, because I was telling Caitlin about the video, the TikTok that you did of, I'm so sorry if anybody that I know is watching this and hears me say this word, but how he stuck a bunch of needles in his tank. He is one of the worst of the worst.
Don't we have an episode called From Mouth to Taint?
I mean, I think you say it like that. But that was on Ed Gein, I'm pretty sure.
No, that was the... Wasn't that the old lady and the son who washed her son?
Oh, yes, yes. Never mind.
There's a lot of...
Yeah. The lady who washed her son?
Yeah, so...
That's Gary Ridgway, right?
Well, that did happen, but we covered a case that happened in the late 1800s. Leonarda Cinciulli, she's known as the soap maker of Correggio, and she believed that she could save her son, her beloved son, from death in war by killing people and turning their fat into soap. That was part of a spell.
Fight Club.
And
she proceeded to bathe him as an adult.
Her grown adult son, she forced him to allow her to bathe him, and hence the name. Because she washed him all over and made it a point to do so. I feel weird saying it's a good story, but it's a twisted one.
That's something we say at the beginning of every episode. We're like, we have a good story. And it's like, well it's not it's a not good, good story, but
interesting.
It's,
I've talked about this a lot too, with people always asking me, who's your favorite serial killer? I don't have, like, I think what the question actually is who do you find interesting? Right?
Yes.
Because I always respond like, hey, it's It's not a fucking baseball card.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
It's not a color. Oh, my favorite color is blue. Like, it's not the same thing, right?
You don't,
like,
want to be trapped in an elevator with them.
There are certain guys I find more interesting than others. And that's what I think is the question is that. Like, I also had a video, like, a couple weeks ago that was called Where Did All the Serial Killers Go? And it was the biggest one for my channel. And I've got a follow-up for that.
I really enjoyed that one.
Thanks. I've got another one in that vein coming out on Friday. In that same kind of format, which I'm really excited for. Friday, no spoilers, but it's coming out on Friday.
Okay, that's so awesome.
That should give you a hint if you know what Friday is. But
So who is somebody? It doesn't have to be like the one, but when you have a killer that is like grips your attention, who is somebody?
BTK.
I knew it.
So I also did an episode where I spoke with a clinical and forensic psychologist and played Guess Who with her and stuff. And like, she told me like, if you have a favorite, it usually means it's some kind of similarities to one of your parents. And I was like, yeah, no. But BTK, I just think there's something I find it really interesting. The compartmentalization, it's like the word of the month on my channel right now. It's just this ability to be like a, by all accounts, his daughter follows me on Instagram.
Really?
She's never messaged me or anything, but and it was like, I find it incredibly crazy that somebody can be, by all accounts, a good dad. Like, she considered him to be her, like, best friend.
Yeah.
They went hiking, they go fishing, he's a Cub Scout leader.
He was involved in their church.
Church. Like, that's always the case.
Caitlin's like, those are red flags.
Yeah.
Not all, but...
But then, like, at the same time, you know, doing the things that he's doing and, like, the compartmentalization that goes along with that. To me, it's like these two, like, this split screen we have going on right now. It's like these two completely separate. It would be like if I was on both sides of it right now talking to myself.
Yeah.
Like, it's basically, it's insane. And like, I find that to be... I think that's what I've always found most interesting about a lot of these guys in the true crime genre in general is that, like, you can take somebody, take 10 people and give them the same upbringing.
Yes.
Because most of them have had, like, all these serial killers share a lot of these traits, as we've learned from shows like Mindhunter and things like Forensic and, like, you know, Profiling and all of that that they've done for years now. That a lot of horrific abuse, but you can take 10 other people with the same upbringings and they don't. So when this one guy veers off this way, and I don't know, I find that really interesting for some reason. Just why did he go that way?
I completely agree.
Yeah.
You know, it's weird. I used to watch this show called, I talked about this on the last live, but it was a show called Outsiders, I think it was called. And it was just about, it wasn't even about serial killers, but I also thought it was so interesting. It was just people who do really weird, something really weird. One person was like, it was like they ate couches. Or, I don't know, maybe in the States you call them sofas.
But yeah, like
just her thing. She's like, I think I've eaten about 14 couches.
We have a show like that here called My Strange Addiction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just,
I mean,
and honestly, I don't think a person like that is that different. It's just their weird thing doesn't hurt other people.
Exactly.
Yeah. These serial killers, they have a weird addiction, and it overtakes them and it overpowers their sense of everything. It's called a paraphilia, right? It's like they, you know, instead of eating couches, they have this, because most of the time. Why I brought up the Where'd All the Serial Killer video is because there were so many comments on that saying that serial killers don't exist anymore because they've just transitioned and become mass shooters now. And I'm like, no, that's like a completely different thing.
Yeah.
A serial killer, even if a serial killer, like take a Jeffrey Dahmer. Jeffrey Dahmer goes out with a gun and shoots shoots up like 15 people in one event.
They're not getting the satisfaction, like what they're craving. It's not the same.
No. And it's going to, there's and a even cycle. If it's a month later, he's going to want to go back out and do it again.
Exactly.
Like,
yes.
So many comments were thinking like you could just go out and shoot 15 and then you're done. Okay. I'm good. I'm done.
I got
my kill count. And not to mention Dahmer didn't even didn't get off from the killing itself.
It's right.
The killing was a means to an end because he wanted that massive control. And the best way to have the full control over somebody was for them to be dead beside him. And how do you make somebody dead? You kill them. Right. Yeah. So like he was getting off after he killed them. Killing was like an unfortunate thing that he had to do to get off.
Right. Later. But he was so okay just, doing that. And that's, I just want to see the brain.
He wasn't even that okay though. Yeah, I don't think he was that okay. He didn't like it.
I agree with you.
That's the only reason why I'm like, going
that's way. How that's how strong that freaking urge that addiction was that he's willing to do that to satisfy it and he had to get it.
He would get really fucked up before he would do his kills because he hated the actual killing so much. But like Caitlin said, he wasn't morally convicted enough to stop or to find other means to do so. But I do find that type of pathology very interesting, that Jeffrey Dahmer, he wanted the end result, but he didn't like the process leading up to it. Whereas somebody like BTK, also Ted Bundy, the actual process of causing pain and suffering was what they enjoyed. Yeah. And then with Ted Bundy, he took it one step further because he liked to return to what he had done over and over again. He's another one that I would, maybe you'll disagree, but I would also put him in that BTK category because he
had his separate life,
such a double life going on. Was running a suicide hotline, was on the neighborhood watch, was part of a group that was like, how can we make our neighborhood safer? And was raising his girlfriend's daughter alongside her.
Yeah.
I mean, just unhinged stuff. And there's actually a book that recently came out by a young cousin, I believe, of his that was like a college age when he was in the middle of his like killing years. And he was a very close friend of hers and was somebody that her and her girlfriends like relied on him to do all kinds of stuff for them. He'd come over, spend time in their home, and they trusted him. And even when the killings were going on, he would come check up on them to be like, hey, you guys, like, you know, there's somebody bad out here. I just want you to be safe. And the absolute mind fuck. I can't even imagine.
See, and that's, we had talked about like our biggest fears one day. And that is one of my biggest fears is like, if ever I found out that like anybody close to me had a double life like that would be the ultimate betrayal. And like, I can't even imagine.
No, BTK, right? He was 27 years married. Apparently his wife had no idea. Kids.
And it sucks because, I mean, his daughter, like, who she knew was him. Like, she knew, like, that was him to her versus who he made himself out to be to other people. So,
But the scariest thing to me is that, this may sound bad even, but, like, he was both of those people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't just pretending to be a nice guy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's easy to fall into the trap. Like, I talk about that in the video coming out on Friday, actually, that bad people aren't bad all the time. I say in the video, I'm like, Hitler had a dog. Like, it's easy to think. It's easy to think like, oh, they must, like, they did these horrific things. They must sleep upside down like a bat. And like, but no, man, they go to the beach, they party, like, you know, they...
Yeah.
It's that's the scary thing. Like,
what do you think about So I have heard it presented that people, and BTK is just a great example because he can, you can kind of like, his pathology is one that other killers have had. So where they have this like double life, and you know, they seem to be a genuinely loving, good family person, or have somebody that they love and care about. And this particular book I was reading basically presented that that's not possible, and that they actually view those relationships, like whether it's with a child or a spouse, as an extension of themselves.
Yes.
And they don't, they actually don't have the true capacity for empathy and love, but they are
in a
evil,
normal
in
way.
A normal way, but that they are, they appear to be split because one is a performance, the other is their true self, the evil self, and that they are just kind of performing how they know they're supposed to act. And I don't know if I agree with that, but I do think it's interesting because if you think they're a narcissistic personality, then they do view those relationships, especially if it's their child, mm-hmm. as, oh, well, this is part of me. So mm-hmm. I do love it because I see it as me, like it belongs to me. And
again, it's still love, but not.
It's like a twisted,
it's not normal
type of love.
That's a scary, it's a scary thought almost, right?
Like,
it's fascinating.
Very interesting.
Oh, let's see. There was a question that was a little bit back from
I think I saw it too.
Courtney,
somebody said,
Courtney said, do we think unsolved murders are always committed by humans? What about other possibly more mystical creatures?
I love the missing 411.
Oh, like paranormal, cryptid. Where do you fall in all that?
I don't know. I haven't looked into that at all. So
yeah,
like creatures and demons, like, and stuff,
like cryptids. Like
I mean, people like to throw out Sasquatch and aliens,
skinwalker, like skinwalkers,
lizard people.
Yeah. What are you in?
Be completely honest.
In Canada, do you guys have cryptids that are unique to Canada?
I'm
sure
cryptids are unfamiliar. Is cryptids just a word that means like those things you said, like Sasquatch and stuff? No,
cryptid is just like
I'm sure we do. I can't think of any. I think you'd be silly to not think there were aliens. The universe is just too big. I think
so.
Definitely,
if you're
aliens.
An alien believer, then you could be a cryptid believer.
But I'm not I don't think there's Bigfoot. I think we would have found Bigfoot. I think we would have found Loch Ness Monster. I think wouldn't it be fucking awesome though if all of a sudden they just legitimately found Nessie and were like, there it is, and everyone would go, what?
See, I don't think Nessie's alive anymore. I think she was in the early 1900s. I think she was alive for a while. I don't think she's with us anymore.
See, if somebody came out...
Where's the body, then?
See? At the bottom of the ocean? Or the sea, wherever
she... It got eaten by other little fishies in the lock.
I don't know, but with our government, I don't trust any... Like, you could tell me an alien came here. I was like... I believed it yesterday, but now I don't.
Yeah, the aliens. I think there's definitely aliens. I don't know if they're here, but there's definitely aliens out there. I mean, it would be insane if there wasn't. But
yeah, there's got to be something.
I hope it happens in our. Well, I mean, it would be. Wouldn't it just be everything? Everything would change. You know, like everything would immediately be different if we had first contact for real. Like. It would just.
Watched Alien Romulus. Was that what it was? And so the picture of aliens in my mind right now is not the one that I want showing up on Earth.
I don't know.
What, Alien Romulus? Okay. Mm-hmm. You want my take on Alien Romulus?
Yeah, go for it.
My take on it, as someone who is a diehard alien, oh, you can't see it. Diehard alien fan. Like, I'm listening to audiobooks right now, like other books in that universe about Alien. Uh-huh. I love Alien. I love Aliens. Mm-hmm. Alien 3 is okay. Alien Resurrection. Meh. And then I do like Covenant and Prometheus.
Okay.
Alien Romulus, my problem with it was that the first Alien movie and Aliens, mm-hmm. the guys, they're like, especially the first one, they're like the truck drivers, the long-haul truckers in outer space, uh-huh. right? They're like these mm-hmm. blue-collar, like, you know, types. Then fucking Gen Z gets a hold of Alien Romulus and goes, let's make them young and like hackers.
I mean,
you're so right.
I think my first commentary was when she got on the ship. I was like, smash.
Smash.
I was like, he can die.
Yeah. And then
I think we laughed more than anything.
She was weird too. Cause I couldn't tell that at times I was like, is she 12 or 45? Like,
yes. I was like, is there something wrong with me if I say certain that she's lighting. Hot because I can't tell how old she is.
And the CGI was just like, we are declining.
Yeah.
Barney was more realistic in my days.
I was very deliciously weirded out by the synthetics, and particularly the one that was severed in half and you could see his insides hanging out. That was just cool, and it was like I liked how it was a combo of
Ash.
What looked like a real person but like electricity and goop. That
Bilbo cool. Baggins, right? The guy who
I knew he looked familiar.
I always like referring to characters in movies by other characters that they famously played, but not the actor's name. Like, I'm always like, you know that one Ted Bundy movie starring Frodo Baggins?
Yep.
Like, because Elijah Wood's in that one. Courtney Couch says, in your experience, are there any commonalities that these serial killers almost always have in common? Outside of usually childhood, like, abuse, whether it be psychological, physical, usually both, emotional. Yeah. That's almost every single one of them
has
some form of abuse in their childhood, whether it's even in just neglect is another form of abuse. But swing sets. James Herbert says swing sets.
I was waiting to see if we did on the swing set.
What the fuck is that?
Caitlin doesn't know about your swing set theory.
Yeah, it's that I can't believe I gotta do my swing set theory again. I have a fake theory that I talk about on the channel. And fake then people theory. some people think I'm serious about it. But it's that every time I'm like researching a lot of these killers or watching a documentary, they'll be like, when he was 7 years old, he was hit in the head during a playground incident and hit by a swing. And it's always head trauma caused by swing sets. So I'm like, I started a campaign to have swing sets. I have a change.org.
That's hilarious.
To have swing sets banned. I actually made the change.org. I made a whole campaign video where I compared it to like, as a nation, we've banned infant walkers, peanuts, even the cat in the hat to keep our children safe. Yet these metal monsters are found in our playgrounds and even our own backyard. And like, I was going to try to get like a celebrity song together, like We Are the World and shit. And like, I pulled out all the stops from my campaign. The
traumatic brain injuries. I mean, every time that
we have done a serial killer case and it like comes up with head trauma. We're like, there it is.
We're like, when are they going to get hit upside the head? And it always happens.
Most of them have it. And when I talked to the forensic psychologist about this, she said, like every serial killer that she studied had some sort of head trauma.
Ugh.
And she said, and then I like forced her into like my my lane of swing sets. I was like, just kept pushing her till eventually she was like, yes,
not wrong.
Yes, I guess, yes, technically a swing set could do that. I was like, thank you. And then I always just clip that piece out of the episode on its own and stick it into my other things.
Yes,
and like, and put up, and then put up her credentials on the screen.
That's hilarious.
Oh my God. That's awesome.
She's like,
that
Josh, was... you gotta stop doing that to me.
I read this book that was written in the 1970s, so, you know, had to take it with like a bag of salt, but it's just called Serial Killers, and it's a book about the psychology of serial killers. And apparently they did a ton of studies in the 70s that show that these guys like Gacy, Bundy, some of the I can't even think of other ones, but they were able to learn that they all had a high levels of a chemical in their system that you only get when you
from clown makeup.
But kind of from lead paint.
Yeah, that's a big one. For real. Yes.
And I was like, what? I didn't even think of that. And it's never just one thing. It's always like a perfect storm. But that lead paint would do a number on your brain development. And then you combine the abuse, the falling off a swing set, the all of that together. And,
I mean, and we're all human. We all have those intrusive thoughts. Yeah. We have survival instincts. I mean,
Caitlin joked that she was going to push me down the stairs before we recorded this.
So, I mean, it's not even just lead paint.
And that's what separates me from those that do.
Yeah. It's not even just lead paint either. It was like the leaded gasoline.
Yeah,
was an issue, and of course, like lead pipes that were that are still an issue to this day, because like the infrastructure, like even here in my city, it's like the city pipes, not the pipes in your house. They've changed those out by now, but the pipes that connect you to the city are still lead. Like, what are they gonna do? Like, dig up the entire fucking city? Like, they're doing it like over a period of time. They're starting by closer to schools. And like trying to make sure that schools aren't being fed.
Start with the young. Straight lead.
Well, like even in my house, just this room right there that I'm pointing at, you can't see the door. But only like a year ago now, we discovered that it's a really old house from like the 30s. And like that there was all this old lead paint crumbling off the walls in the unfinished laundry room. They had to bring in an abatement company. I was out of the house. We were out of the house for like 3 weeks while they like did shit to our basement to like make it safe and all that.
That's
and I was
terrifying.
I was like, I've been working right here for how long?
Oh no.
My wife joked that I didn't even have a YouTube channel, or I didn't even have a job, that I was just coming out there, I'm working on my work, but I just had brain damage. Yeah, sure you are, Josh. Okay.
I love that.
I'm going downstairs to work.
Okay, honey.
Oh, but that, so some of the things we do on our podcast is we'll do like Reddit deep dives. Ooh. And Caitlin one time found a story, and I don't know if this was an episode we were just talking about it, but there was someone who was like, hey guys, I have been having this weird stuff happen to me where I'm just like losing time and I am like hallucinating. And they were like, bro, you might have a carbon monoxide issue in your house. And he sure enough did, and was like,
somebody's leaving me notes in my house, bitch.
Yeah,
it was you.
Yeah, he was actually like going crazy, but it was carbon monoxide.
Long story short here, I was minutes away from death.
Oh my god.
When I was 20 years old, 21, and I lived with four or five different friends in a house in the when we first moved out, and we got severe carbon monoxide poisoning from a bad furnace and an improperly cleaned chimney. And I woke up to firefighters kicking in my bedroom door and like smashing out my windows with an axe. And I was semi-conscious. What? So they were carrying me out of my room and all my roommates were getting dragged out, like unconscious out of their rooms and stuff. And then they said if we would have, we got airlifted in helicopters and shit. And they said if we would have been in there for another about 15 minutes, we all would have been dead.
What?
So we were very fortunate.
How'd they find you? Like, how
they found
know?
Us? They found us because, long story short, the night before, the night this all happened, one of the roommate who slept closest to the fireplace was upstairs and passed out in the bathroom, was making a bunch of weird noise. And we woke us up, the rest of us up, and we were in the bathroom with him. Mm-hmm. And we didn't know what was wrong with him. He was at a bachelor party. We thought he must have done some weird drugs, something he wasn't used to. So we called him an ambulance, and they came and they picked him up, and nobody knew what was wrong with him. They took him to the hospital. Later that next morning, that was like 2 a.m. At the morning at 9 a.m., they were going to send him back home from the hospital. They're like, well, you seem like you're okay. We don't know what it is. If you're feeling bad later, come back. He's like, okay. Yeah. He's like, maybe it has to do with carbon monoxide. I sleep in the room with the fireplace. They checked his level. Sure enough, they're through the roof. Mm-hmm. They're like, do you have any roommates? He's like, yeah, but they'll all be at work. So they're like, where does one of your roommates work? And he's like, Josh works at Sunrise Records. So they call Sunrise Records. And they go, no, Josh didn't come in this morning. They go, oh, my God. And then...
Holy.
Oh, my God.
And then the funny part was, because there's a funny part, was that I was semi-conscious because I smoked so heavily that I was semi-conscious because I was already had a bit of a slight tolerance and everyone else was unconscious. And at the time I smoked. And so I had called my mom and my mom had come into the house and my mom was there for like 5 minutes before the firefighters got there. So that night on the news, 6 o'clock news, we were the main thing on the news because... And but they started it off by saying five men between the ages of 18 and 22 and one 50-year-old woman, right, were taken. So then all of our other friends were like, which one of you guys, because we were like 20, which one of you guys picked up the 50-year-old woman? It's like, no, it was my mom. My mom was in the house at the time.
That's terrifying.
No, Robin, I don't smoke anymore. I quit smoking 8 years ago.
But it kind of saved your life in a way.
Yeah, I used to say I was going to do a PSA for that. Mr. DeMaurier, yeah, saved my life. Smoking saved my life. It kind of did.
Oh, man. Oh, we need you to have your, we need you to voice note that story for us on the podcast so we can tell it.
I'll find the picture. I should just upload the picture.
That's hilarious.
It's like front page of the newspaper. I have it on my phone still somewhere. It's like the front page of the newspaper was me laying in the front yard with an oxygen mask on my face and my buddy getting picked up by two paramedics. He's like in a U shape and he's just in his underwear. Like a dirty pair of boxers. Like
I would find ways to make that like all over the place, just in his life all the time.
Tattooed on me somewhere.
Christmas cards, birthday cards.
The wild part was too, it happened on December the 30th. So the next night was 31st and we were scheduled. We were the ones going to have the big party. So had it happened like the next night, who knows how many people they would have had to drag out of the house, you know?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, but we moved out of there.
Yeah, for the best.
True crime. True crime and carbon monoxide.
That's the alternate title to your channel.
Yeah.
Let's see.
So what's next in store for Camping is Canceled? So those just joining now, we're having a YouTube Live today with Kate and Jen from Camping is Canceled. They're a podcast, true crime podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts. So go get a podcast. remember when podcasts were podcasts because they were only available on iPods? That's where the name comes from.
Yes. A bit. I mean, I wasn't listening to them, but I do remember when that was a thing. Caitlin's too young for that.
Yeah. But what's next for Camping is Canceled? What's coming up?
So we are actually getting ready to record the unsolved case of Missy Beavers. It is an unsolved homicide that happened in 2016 in Midlothian, Texas. And it got really big with armchair sleuths and I mean, it was just a big case in general because she was a 45-year-old wife, mom of three, loved in her community, very low crime area. She was a fitness trainer, and she was hosting a fitness class actually at a local church at 5 a.m. on a Monday morning. It was for a company called Camp Gladiator. She was a trainer for them, and she used the church as a training spot. And normally they'd be in a parking lot, but it was raining that day and they moved it inside. And she got there early to set up. 5 a.m. rolls around, her class shows up, they find her dead in the hallway. She had been beaten to death with a hammer.
You don't give away too much. They gotta listen to the episode.
It's all information you can find like easily online.
But what sets it apart from other cases, and I think somebody commented that serial killers like could be caught because they're on camera now. Mm-hmm. Well, this one was caught on camera.
Mm-hmm.
You see them in the church moving around, mm-hmm. scoping it out. They're in like SWAT gear, so you can't see a face or anything, but then you see them leaving, and I believe you see the car leaving, but like the post covers up the license plate as it leaves. So that's what makes this case all the more intriguing.
Yes, as we actually have like a full 2 minutes of somebody in head to toe, very ill-fitting tactical gear with a very weird looking limp, holding a hammer, walking around up and down the halls of this church building. And this was supposedly in the minutes before the murder. And that it is unsolved. There were a lot of crazy red herrings and theories and people just kind of going rogue on the internet, and that caused a lot of issues. And then some things came out about Missy's personal life that raised more questions. But as of now, there have never been any suspects officially named. No arrests have been made. The last update I heard was that there is a full-time detective working on the case, but there's nothing. So we are going to be releasing that next week, Friday.
Great. So let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
So what can people expect? Because here's the thing that I don't like about some podcasts or some YouTube things. It's like they're just laying out facts. But all of these facts are all things that I can just go to and get. So what does camping is canceled offer someone that they can't just find on Wikipedia?
Well, that's a good question. We try to avoid using Wikipedia as a primary source. But I think
this is all Jen and you're researching.
Well, I do put a lot of work and research into the cases, but I think why Caitlin and I got into listening to true crime podcasts was because we are interested in the subject matter. But for me, it was the way that the story was being told that really grabbed my attention, that presented details in a way that stuck with me and kept me engaged and thinking. And that's what we try to do in the way that we tell stories, is that we really want to be excellent storytellers in a way that you can have this podcast going if you're laying down and you're like, I just want to focus on listening, or you can zone out while you're driving or doing laundry. And Caitlin and I do discuss elements of the case. We have a script, but we go off script and speculate, discuss.
Speculate, good.
Yes, we do speculate, but we make it clear, you know, that we're not experts. This is just our speculation.
But that's what I want.
Yes, we do put our personalities into it as much as we can, because what draws us to other creators is vibing with their personality. And so by allowing the story to take center stage, but presenting it through the lens of who we are.
Yeah.
We think that other people will find us who are interested in the way that we tell stories. And I think that it's important that we are consuming stories all the time. And was an English major, have a writing degree. And so that's just my entire life. And I have found a lane in true crime stories with this. And so.
And you're very good at painting the picture from like before point A, even like Jen's very good at going, like, we get the prequel, the sequel, it's not just the Wikipedia page where it's bullet point. It is like laid out, it's explained, and it's conversational. Yeah. It's not just informational.
I like to deep dive. So, you know, reading a 400 page book on a case before writing a script, watching every interview, reading every case file I can get my hands on. So it's, I can get a little too deep into cases sometimes and have to pull myself back and be like, I have a life in front of me, but in another life, would I have been somebody that never comes out of a basement office like that girl in Long Legs? Probably.
Gosh. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's what I want out of content that I watch. And that's what I try to offer as well. Like, I want to be someone who just, I think I have a lot of weird questions a lot of the time.
Yeah.
Or that I have a lot of questions that people sometimes think and don't ask. And that's, I kind of view myself, especially with this new style of content that I've been working at, as just someone who's going to ask the questions to maybe drum up some questions in you and give you something to think about. And we can all think about these things together. And not just be like, this person died on this day and this is the guy who did it. But like, I want the color around that. I want the
why this personality. Person, why do this, this way, why? Mm-hmm. Like, I want to know.
And
I always say in mine too, is like, listen, I think on the video that comes out on Friday for me, when the first minute I said, listen, I'll tell you up front, I don't have any answers in this video. But I do have some questions, and I think it's an interesting topic for us to explore. Yeah. So if you want to explore with me, let's go.
That is
absolutely.
Yes.
We are also fascinated by, and we do talk about it, but again, in a respectful way, is when true crime podcasters kind of become big, they get to become an authority in how stories are told. So some of the more popular true crime podcasts kind of like assume this moral high ground, and they say that like if anyone is telling stories in a way that goes against kind of how they do it, then they're doing it wrong, they're being disrespectful, you're not allowed to say that or ask that. And we disagree, and in particularly when it comes to, there are even instances where somebody is a victim of a crime and they were not a good person. They made terrible decisions that did not make the fault theirs in what happened to them. But sometimes we have to actually look at things objectively in the whole big picture and be like, yes, this person who got set on fire was a victim, but they also abused this other person for 20 years up until the moment the other person snapped and lit them on fire. So it's one of those things where, and I want to be very careful that that's what I'm talking about. Not, oh, a woman shouldn't be walking alone down a dark street at night. That's not what I'm saying at all. But in being able to actually examine the nuance in how somebody comes to a point where they become a victim and vice versa gets to a point where they become a killer.
That point, exactly. I recommend Ken Rex, if you have not heard of him. we did a three-parter.
A three-parter.
On the town that got away with murder. And that is exactly the dilemma that we were running through with that case.
Yes.
Highly recommend.
Yes. Someone who was very much was a victim, went on to become a perpetrator.
Head trauma.
Head trauma. There was a lot of head trauma. And, had some things happen to him.
Yeah. Yeah, I think everybody's got their own style. I wouldn't badmouth any other creators out there, but I don't like but I do think I will want. I think Crime Junkie is the most boring thing I've ever seen in my life, but
I can't listen to it anymore. It's too informational, too news-like for me.
It has become a little bit like a NPR recitation, doesn't feel real.
It feels like they try to even do like their conversation stuff where it's like they sit across and talk back and forth, so scripted that it's just like,
yes, we literally send each other when they post videos and we're like, if we ever appear to come across unnatural like this, that's not what we want. And we
I have all the questions. Just like, they're all written down on the sheet in front of you. And I think video doesn't do them any favors though. I think you should just stick to audio. It would work better. But like,
your words, we agree.
And it's hard to find that balance between the conversation, the speculation and the introspection, but also giving people facts. And that's something that I also feel strongly about, is I don't want to just be throwing shit out there that has no basis in fact. So
I do that all the time.
Hey, it's your channel.
Listen. Yeah. But you do it in a way where you're not being like, I'm gonna tell you the story and everything is like true to the best of my ability. Like, it's very obvious that you are painting things with a wider brush in a more satirical,
comedic
way.
Generally I say like my channel's not the place to come if you want all the information on Jeffrey. Mine's the one to come to. It's like, I already know the story of BTK.
Yeah.
And I know a decent amount about the guy. Now I'll go and check out the Breakfast Show episode, because he's just going to talk about I'm going to pick and choose what I want to talk about. And like, I'm going to talk about that stupid wig, and that's about it. I'll talk about the wig for 10 minutes.
We covered Ed Gein back around Christmas time, and we had to stop the recording for a good 10 minutes because things got really dark about certain body parts he made into Christmas ornaments, but we were laughing so hard that we could not breathe.
Nipple belts and stuff. Yeah. I have a Gein episode coming out in 2 weeks, actually.
Oh my God.
I've already done a regular episode, but since the whole monster thing's coming out about him, I did a video. I did a collab, actually. It's coming out in 2 weeks, 2 or 3 weeks. Ooh, and it's just about, it's all about like the films he inspired. And how they relate. So Texas Chainsaw, Psycho, and Silence of the Lambs specifically, and then one other one. But like comparing like where the inspiration aligns. So
he was a crazy one. What do you think about Charlie Hunnam playing him?
I made a post about that because he's like, handsome Charlie Hunnam. It's like, did Ed? Mm-hmm. I don't recall Ed Gein skinning a handsome Englishman and wearing his face around town.
I don't know. Think the build is that, like, he was a tall, lengthy, like,
he's kind of like gaunt. Yeah. Looking.
I made a post on Instagram where when that photo of him dressed up like that initially dropped, like, I jumped on it straight away and I put it up with a meme that was like, hey, good looking, what you got cooking?
Oh,
and
God.
Made a comment, and like a lot of people came to Ed Gein's defense and were like, actually, Ed Gein was quite handsome.
What?
Sorry to offend.
No.
Which everybody's got their opinion. Might be wrong, but
I always joke around, like, even Ted Bundy, it's like
he was not attractive.
Ted was horrifying. It's like, it depends. It's like if you compare Ted Bundy to like fucking Henry Lee Lucas and other serial killers and shit, sure.
Yeah.
Handsome. See,
but like we're looking
but if
at
you put him in the real world, no, he's not.
No.
Like, he's not handsome in comparison. Yeah. It's like it's if you put him in the class with the other killers, right?
See, that's sensationalizing serial killers is making attractive actors and actresses play them.
Yeah.
It's an interesting conversation.
I get the art, but
I heard it explained why Zac Efron was picked to play Ted Bundy, because it's another case where here you have this like very hot actor playing Ted Bundy, who we just been sitting here being like, he was ugly as hell. But in his time, though, so many women
found
him attractive. Were showing up like to court being like, there's no way he's so beautiful. Like, how could this man have done this? And so they made that choice so that you could experience kind of what the world at the time was experiencing and be drawn into his charm. And
did you guys ever see any of by any chance, I did a series called Killer Drip?
No.
I did four episodes with a fashion YouTuber.
What?
where we broke down the drip, the various outfits of different serial killers. But like, I ambushed him. So essentially, he came here. He was from the States, and he came to Canada and shot with me. And he's not a true crime guy. So we'd be like, first one I did was BTK, and I show him like picture of BTK, like in a suit in court, talk about a suit. Second one is like BTK standing by a tree in the front yard with his daughter. And he's wearing this other suit. And we talk about that. The third picture is BTK hanging from a tree wearing women's.
Oh my God.
But we did one on Ted Bundy too, and I kept playing it like I was making mistakes, but I just kept accidentally using photos of Zac Efron and thinking that it was Ted Bundy, and like I was like, oh shit, sorry. Yeah.
I don't think it was that particular one, but I remember commenting on a video of yours because Ted Bundy is wearing something, and I was like, I would wear that outfit today.
Oh, it's probably his. It's the one where he's like laying by a fire and he's wearing these snow pants, and I was like, those snow pants look like the worst possible thing to wear if you're trying to sneak up on somebody from behind. Like his legs, thighs rubbing together, he's trying to like sneak up on something. Like, yeah.
Those episodes
bombed. Like, really? They bombed so hard. And like, it's so disheartening for me sometimes. Such a struggle to get my YouTube going, but like I'm a firm believer that like, and I know from experience, because before working on this, I worked on a very, very, I was the content director at a very, very large channel. And I've spoken to enough people to know that if the channel takes off, that back catalog that has nothing rises with it. So I'm waiting for its day, I hope.
I will be watching it. So
I'll send you guys a link.
I will send it. I will share it.
I think they're really funny. I think they're great. They're like very, again, I think there's a lot of people who don't I think it hasn't found its full audience yet. And I think there's still a decent amount of people that get confused by by the way I play it straight as much as I do. And they think that it's just a video to talk about Ted Bundy's clothes and not like that I'm making fun of it. Like, cause I play it so like his bow tie, looking like he's going to just spray somebody with water or distract the jury. Like, but, I personally love those videos, and I'd love to do more with Demetrius. But
that's great. I think that's awesome.
Oh, that is awesome.
Yeah, I have so many ideas for like because my background as well is filmmaking, right? Like I was a film school guy, and like I direct commercial and corporate work is my day job, and so I have so many of these like elaborate ideas for the channel that I just can't justify the time and money spend on right now because like all of my good friends, like we're all filmmakers, right? Like that's what we do. That's why I'm able to have like the content looking as good as it does. It's through the hard work of other people that I'm close with. but we make movies and stuff. So like I want to do some like really elaborate, hilarious, I think, ideas that'll take some time to do, but I'm just kind of waiting for the channel to take off more in order for me to like spend that idea.
Yeah. Justify the time. Yeah. That makes total sense.
And I don't want it to fall flat. So I want to wait till like I've done a couple of narrative pieces, like where I tried Ed Kemper's childhood games in one, and I did one where I tried to make John Wayne Gacy's last meal, and it just turned into a video about me trying to figure out how to make KFC. And like,
there's no KFC in Toronto.
Well, I was trying to figure out the actual recipe by visiting KFCs and calling KFCs and like trying to call KFC corporate and then hiring a KFC employee to make it with me.
Oh my gosh.
That's all
these big ideas.
I want to see a MRI scan of your brain.
So the craziest ideas that I have, I haven't even got around to making yet. I have a whole idea around making one where we set out to learn them, because we're all, me and the guys who do the channel, it's basically just me and cameraman Eric, but we're all also music backgrounds. Like we're all like guys who played in bands and stuff for a long time. And we want to do one where it starts out, the premise is to learn the music that Charles Manson wrote.
Oh my God.
So we're going to put a band together, but then my plan is to then determine that the Charles Manson music is boring and then go down a rabbit hole where it leads from Charles Manson and then it turns into the connection with Charles Manson and the Beach Boys. And from there it goes to the Beach Boys, to the fact that John Stamos is in the video for Kokomo. And from there it turns into us learning how to play Forever by Jesse and the Rippers. From Full House. Yes. And then we just recreate the entire music video from 1992 of Jesse and the Rippers playing Forever by the Beach Boys. And that's the whole video.
Wow.
Dude, it would be sick.
A true full circle moment. That would be pretty amazing.
Yeah. Oh. But again, it would take a while to accomplish. We'd have to like record the song legitimately. And then I would want to do it shot for shot.
Yeah.
Make that.
Well, you have the means. You have the people.
We'd all have to be shirtless. Oh my God. Just like the video, man. It'd be awesome. It'd be so awesome. Took me a minute to open up YouTube, but I have arrived. Welcome, Betty Krueger. Go Leafs, go. Nah. You know what? I'm Canadian, but I'm not a hockey guy. Never seen a hockey game from beginning to end in my entire life.
Really?
Go Blues.
I'm a diehard baseball fan.
Oh,
cool. Okay.
Which is not that unusual as a Canadian, but it's definitely not as usual as being
baseball?
We got the Toronto Blue Jays.
Oh, okay. That's my husband. I just
I
don't know baseball
Hockey I find boring. But people say they find baseball boring, but it's like chess.
I like baseball. I just don't follow it like I do hockey. I like hockey. I like the light, like just it's just continuous.
I always joke about hockey is like that's like I'm like yeah because 2-year-old can watch it.
Like baseball's the attention span of a 2-year-old.
Baseball's the thinking man's sport.
Yeah,
like, it's like soccer. It's like you gotta kick the ball back and forth till somebody gets it in the net. There's like two rules. Don't be outside.
Yeah, I can't watch soccer.
Like that's it.
Especially men's soccer. It's very theatrical.
Well, that was my sport that I played.
I love soccer.
Played my whole life. Played in college soccer. Okay. But I can't say that I enjoy watching it as much as I enjoy playing it.
Mm-hmm.
And unless you've played it I definitely could see where it's boring to watch.
Yeah. I mean, I understand.
The strategy isn't always apparent.
I definitely understand why some people think baseball is boring. I just think they just, yeah.
They're just stupid.
Hey, Freddie, wake up back there. The dog. Fred, Freddy? Don't join the live. He's never been in a live.
A whistle. Oh, Freddie.
Come here, buddy. Come here, buddy.
And and that is how you would lure us into a van, yes, Josh. Yes.
We're going to let Everybody. Freddie join a live because he hasn't joined a live before.
Oh, Freddie.
Oh, he's got a bad rib right now.
Where's Freddie?
Hi, puppies. Hi, Freddie. He said, get me out of here.
Oh.
You're not into it today, are you,
Belle? Hi, baby.
Is Freddie a beagle?
Freddie's a beagle.
Oh.
You're on. Fred, you're live. Don't smell me. He's a good dog.
Oh. He's so, so handsome.
He is.
He's got such big ears.
Oh, it is an orange one. Oh, I had an orange cat for a hot second named Munchie. What's this one's name?
Her name is actually Lucy, but you know how nicknames happen when you're like Lucy, Luce, Bruce, and it's stuck on Bruce.
Ah,
so
Bruce.
Literally, I've never called her Lucy in years.
I love it.
Sometimes she gets called Mrs. Bruce. But yeah, that's about
beautiful.
It.
Beautiful.
That's about it.
Like a Mrs. Doubtfire.
Yes.
You see, I set myself up before these. I give myself two coffees and two waters so that I don't have to like disrupt because I always need a drink on the go. That's, but I'm almost out, so.
You're like those memes about the basic white girls with their 14 drinks at any given time.
Yeah, exactly. Water makes the coffee work. Yeah. So, what are you guys in the comments here? If you're on the, if you're watching the live, make sure you hit that heart button, hit the likes.
Okay.
We're gonna go for another 10 minutes or so, and we'll call her a night at 10:30 tonight. But I have a lot of work to do for you guys, and I have what I think is going to be a top performer for the channel. I'm really psyched about it, and it's got a very nice message at the end of it. I gotta say, you'll see a different side of me, so I hope you guys all get a chance to watch it on Friday. I'm gonna try to release it at 3 o'clock. Just working with my thumbnail person right now to get a good thumbnail together, which is always the struggle.
Nice.
Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, I have a question for you. Do you have a, like, say a year or two from now, your channel, your dream with this could be anywhere you want it to be? Do you have, like, where you want it to be at, or are you just kind of riding the wave?
Well, when I set out to start, I knew that YouTube's always been the main goal, by far. The other platforms, whether it's Instagram or TikTok, are all just there in support of the YouTube.
Gotcha.
I would love, I knew that it's not something that can, that happens overnight on YouTube. It can for some people, but very, very, very rarely.
Yeah.
It's been growing slow and steady. I wish it was growing faster, but it's growing. Yeah. But I set out with a 5-year window, a runway of 5 years is what I set myself up for. Are you still there? No, it looks like camping's canceled. Oh, zing. They'll probably come back. Okay. So how are you guys? It's just me now. I wish I was on both sides so that I could talk about compartmentalization. Why do the guests always freeze? I don't know. What do you mean? Is there going to be merch? There is merch. Do you guys mean when you say merch? Oh, their phone died. They're getting back in now. They're just messaging me on Instagram. By merch, do you mean like you want t-shirts and mugs and stuff like that or what? Because I'd love to... some of that stuff will come. Spoons with breakfast cereal. I was thinking of selling bowls. But we'll see. Like, oh, Now I'm totally by my lonesome. There was a lot of you guys sending or remember I asked what you want to see more content of, if you wanted to see more of like the couch stuff, or you wanted to see more of like that Where'd All the Serial Killers Go style of video. So I tried Where'd All the Serial Killers Go with blew up for me. It was like 30,000 views it's at now. So then I went back to the couch and it didn't do well again. So I got another one coming out in the other style again. And it's getting to a point where if that continues, the couch is going to start to take more of a backseat. Like, I still think I'll do one a month, maybe. But like the other content will maybe start to show up a little bit more often as the channel is growing. But either way is good for me because I love making both types. But yeah. People need to know about swing tees. Yeah. I think couch shorts would be good. Like it'd be cool to make like a t-shirt or shorts. Sure. That are like the exact pattern of that couch. I never thought of that. That's a good idea. We'll see if they make it back, folks. If they don't, we'll call it a night pretty soon, but that's what happens, right? Yeah. There's James Herbert. There's always going to be a mix of content, right? Like, I'm always gonna have like offer a few things. Like, there's always gonna be some movie reviews, there's always gonna be couch stuff, there's always gonna be the other format. It's just gonna be like I'm gonna have to lean into which one is performing the best for the channel. I'm gonna lean more into that and have the others be more a little bit more spaced out, right? I don't think I want to. If the time comes where the couch goes to the wayside, we'll dispose of it like it's a piece of evidence. I think that'd be a fun video where I like put it through a wood chipper or like cut it up with an axe or a chainsaw or something. That'd be fun. But are you going to review the movie Carla? I might review the movie Carla. I have to watch it first. I haven't seen it. But yeah, I'm looking for a few movies to do. I have a movie review episode coming out in 2 weeks. I gotta get around to that Carla movie though. But I'm also trying to double down. I'm trying to double down on things that are doing well for the channel right now too. So we'll see. I think this Friday's episode is going to be a good test because it's back in that other format. So is that other format just performing better because it's a little bit more serious in tone? That's okay. Like, but I have to pay attention to those things and grow the channel. And then as the channel gets bigger and I keep putting out and I start putting out more couch stuff, people are responding to that. It won't start to matter as much, but I gotta push on it. White tape around where the couch used to be. Yeah, for sure. Oh, it made so many Canadians mad. It did. I don't know why. Who gives a shit, really, you know? But people got mad about it. Yeah. The serious tone makes sense. That's why I thought the jovial YouTube shorts would be good. Yeah, the serious tone makes sense. But, I mean, the whole channel started out as a place to kind of, like, have a laugh at serial killers to an extent, right? So I don't want to abandon that. I always – but I somehow find that, like, a video like Where'd All the Serial Killers Go or the one that's coming out on Friday – spoiler, it's called I'm in Love with a Serial Killer, is it still fits in the channel. It still fits the vibe. It's still very much like my voice, I think, in a way, so that I don't feel like it's too different. But the Wade Wilson episode I thought was some of my best work, and it just didn't perform as nearly as well as the other video and whatnot. So I can't just, you know, I have to pay attention to that. If I want the channel to grow. But one thing I won't do, as I've said a billion times, is lean into something that I don't want to do just to grow, because I don't want to grow doing something that I don't want to do. I want to live or die by content that I enjoy making. So fortunately, I have never released anything on my channel that I don't enjoy. Oh, they're back. And we're back.
We are so sorry.
That's so good. We just talked. I just had a heart to heart.
Oh, wow. Good.
Yeah.
Caitlin's phone just
It was on 92%, and then it was dead.
Decided we
that's because lottery. That's because the fucking 51st state cut off the power to your country.
Probably right.
No, which we haven't done yet.
Yet.
No,
we'll
no,
hold
no,
you
no.
responsible.
We're not getting into that.
Well, I missed getting to hear where you were going with your channel.
We got the Ken and Barbie killers, which is a case that we do want to do.
Oh, yes.
How strong is my accent on a scale of 1 to 10?
Your accent?
Say sorry.
Sorry.
Oh, there
it is.
So on a 1 to Degrassi, you're in Degrassi.
Oh, Degrassi. Yeah. Yeah, you guys say sorry.
Sorry. Oh, gosh.
Sorry.
Sorry.
Yeah, you guys act as if there's an A in the word sorry for some reason.
Oh. Huh. I'm not
that's
one
like the whole Canadian
way to pronounce words.
You guys have an accent to me, of course, right?
Do we?
Yeah. More so Kate.
Ooh.
Oh. Really interesting.
That is interesting.
Yeah,
I always will get asked where is my accent because I'm from the deep south. I'm from South Carolina, mm-hmm. And
yeah, I can hear it there too.
I don't think I sound southern, but
no, we've converted you.
I hear,
but when you're by your family, you do. And when I'm near my southern family, I'm like y'all over.
Oh, wait, we should clarify that just for anyone who hasn't picked up on this yet. You guys don't just dress in the same clothing all the time. No. You're wearing
these are our matching pajamas.
You're wearing like your camping, like pajamas kind of vibe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're in for the night. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we're not to be cliche, and it's been a very shitty winter. We've been spoiled here the last 2 years. We've hardly had any snow the last 2 years, but this year that's like making up for lost time. And I think it's in the middle of a bad snowstorm right now.
Oh,
it's supposed to be.
We just got the tail end of a ice storm.
Yeah. Okay.
So
how does school work up there for you guys? Like does grade school
well, we go to a building
shut down?
Well, oh, okay.
Where we learn from teachers here in Canada. It's a building.
Oh, they do teach.
They group kids by age. They call it grades. They call it grades. Although, you know, we say it differently here than you do in the States.
Oh.
So I lived in the States for long enough that I would pick up on all the differences. Because we say in the States, you always say he's in the 8th grade.
Yes.
Here we say he's in grade 8.
Okay.
Grade 8. Yeah, no.
Gotcha. Yeah. We
no, but is 8th grade, because like I know the Brits do like year 8, which is really like year like 9th grade for us. So
Yeah, no.
We have the same structure, I believe. It's like kindergarten to grade 8 is elementary school, and then high school is grade 9 to 12.
Yes. It's like the same as yours without the guns. Okay.
Yeah, that's true. It's the same as yours, except our students aren't killing off each other in record numbers.
I did have somebody in my grade. He had a hit
list. No way. Oh, he had a hit list.
Just a hit list. He didn't act on anything.
Right.
I'm trying to think if we didn't have any shooting incidents in my grade school when I was growing up, but
homeschooled.
No.
No. Your brother, one day my brother. It's like Galifianakis talking about his like high school reunion.
Regular school.
And he was homeschooled, just him and his mom standing around a bowl of punch in the living room. Talking about how fat I've gotten.
I'm thinking of you young. You were homeschooled young.
Yeah.
Wait, hold up.
Definitely went to regular school. But we didn't have any shootings there. But I did go to a church that was literally shared a parking lot with, I don't know if you are familiar with the AME church mass shooting that happened back in It's been like around 10 years ago now, but a white male walked in and basically opened fire during a Wednesday night church service at a black AME church in downtown Boston.
I do know that.
Dylan Roof. And
that
was, I mean, one of the worst things that's ever happened in the state. And like, since I've been alive, for sure. That's a case we should cover one time. Terrible one.
I didn't have, like, my high school, there was some drama for sure. My grade 10, my grade 10 math teacher committed suicide during the time that we were supposed to have him for a test. He was at home, not at school, but he didn't show up. And then it turned out that, so that same day I was on my bus, I was in grade 10 and the 10th grade. And I was on the bus ready to go home. And like these like guys in windbreakers got on the bus and were like walked down and were looking at all the kids. We're like, we didn't know what was going on. And then it turned out that it was a friend of mine's older brother and his friend were actually blackmailing and trying to extort this teacher. Because they were like fake friends with the teacher's son, and they had planted stuff on the guy's computer, and apparently he might have actually had some. And they had taken photos of it, and they were demanding money from him, and he was paying them over some period of time, and he was also an alcoholic, and then I guess he had had enough, and he ended up committing suicide. But he committed suicide, and then they got caught for the extortion at the same time, so the guys in the windbreakers were looking for them because they were on my bus. And they ended up going to jail and all that. But
that sounds like an episode of Euphoria. That is.
It was a wild, yeah, kind of. It was a wild story. Euphoria is a great show. When's that coming back?
Probably in like 10 years when they're all 30. And
well, Angus Cloud. The one guy died, right?
Yes.
Angus Cloud or whatever his name was. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, we left that episode. We left the last season with him getting taken off to jail or whatever, right?
Yes.
Remember, like that the young kid guy who's like a thug kid was like,
and they killed him. Ashtray.
Yeah. But, yeah. Anyway,
that is one of the few shows that I feel like I like will give a lot of shows a chance, but if it doesn't grab me within that pilot, it's really hard for me to keep going.
I dragged my feet with it.
But Euphoria, I mean, from the get-go, I was like,
yeah.
A lot of it, because I was horrified being like, this is what high school is like.
Yeah.
Not my high school.
Well, I kind of said
some parts, but not all.
Yeah, I kind of said like I related to some of that, like the partying and all that was kind of like that to an extent. And I remember saying that with like, so I was working at this place and there was I was way older than the rest of them. They were like 21 or 20 at the time. And I was like my mid to late 30s. And I was like, yeah, it kind of reminds me of when I was in high school or whatever. And none of them related to it at all. And I was like, I guess you guys were losers. I don't know.
Betty, Betty said that shit is Degrassi on Little Crack. It's so true.
I've never seen Degrassi.
But you've never seen any of the Degrassis?
Not really. Maybe the originals way back, like, because, you know, it's filmed right here, right? But, like, not really.
Rewatch. My sister and I still rewatch Degrassi, like, Next Generation and all that.
There was somebody from Degrassi, The Next Generation, was in my high school.
Oh.
I forget her name. She was one of the characters, one of the main people in that was from my high school. Not Drake.
You have the perfect life for a YouTube channel.
One of my good friends was Justin Bieber's camp counselor too.
Oh, interesting.
Because he's his house is only about 15 minutes from where I grew up.
Wow.
That they've been dropping of Biebs? He doesn't look okay.
Oh, I have not.
Looks a little gaunt.
Yeah.
They're saying he does have
a newborn child.
There's rumors too that they're splitting or whatever and all that. Who knows?
Well, isn't there stuff coming out though about with the white party. Who's the guy that's
Diddy?
Yeah, Diddy with Diddy. There's stuff coming out like
well, that was like a little while ago where they were trying to connect. They were trying their hardest to connect.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Well, and he just distanced himself.
The speculation is that he was abused.
Oh, okay. Yeah. He was a young kid. Yeah, so I could see that. Oof.
Yeah.
It's who knows. Anywho, I think we should bring this live to what?
Oh, sorry. Betty no says worries. He was in the custody of Diddy as a kid.
Well, Usher, actually, I really hope nothing's true about Usher.
Wait.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have to look that up.
I remember when my first serious girlfriend that I was with for like a few years back when I was in high school, until after high school,
mm-hmm.
when we split up, she mm-hmm. at one point she sent me that song "Burn."
What?
It's kind of like this. It's gonna hurt for me to say this.
And now look
the
at where
you are. The sound. Yeah, it was very dramatic. I still think of it every time I hear the song.
Was it sent on like a burnt CD or?
I don't remember how she was, because this would have been before. This would have been in 2004.
And look where you are now. Now you're married with a wife that gaslights you into thinking that you're typing on a cardboard.
Yeah. Yeah. Who knows? Everything happens for a reason.
That's right.
All right. Okay. So just as a reminder, everybody, you guys can type in the chat too, right? But we're here with Kate and Jen from Camping is Canceled. That's a true crime podcast that you can get anywhere you get your podcasts. I think you guys have most of it mostly on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, for example, right?
Yes,
for
your downloads. Those are the majority of our downloads. I think Amazon Music, I see people on there too. And just as a really quick, I will throw out, or our editor person will yell at us, is that we now have a Patreon. And if anyone is interested in seeing what we're doing over there, if you subscribe to our Patreon for $3 a month, you get the episodes a day early and ad free. And saying ad free, basically they're all ad free right now because we don't have any sponsors, but you get them a day early, which is cool.
And
we are releasing an extra episode a week, which will also drop on Thursdays at 9 a.m., which is Caitlin and I talking about current events and headlines that grab our attention in the world of true crime and just weird life stuff.
I'm sure you remember the episode numbers, but we highly recommend starting with our two-parter episode of the Moscuda Prom Night Murders, which is a local true crime episode that we truly
local to
enjoyed
us.
It's a good one.
Yes, and that's in the I think early 20s of our episodes. So if you are a new listener and you decide to hop in at the very, very beginning, you will experience all of the bad, the shitty audio, the kinks that we worked out. But once we get to
babies.
Around episode 20 is where we really start hitting our stride. So 76 episodes in, we're going strong.
Wow.
And so there's a lot to binge. And thank you for having us on.
Thanks for joining. For the Canadians on here too, the Americans spell canceled wrong, so they only use one L.
I noticed that today. I was typing it, and I was like, "Who the hell spells it with two
today.
L's?"
I had to look it up today. They spell it their way, like it's a whole British thing again. So they spell it with one L. We spell it with two. So if you're looking for them, make sure you use the one L version.
Yes,
the Americanized version of the word.
Thank you.
They always, because I had trouble myself when I was typing notes. I kept using two L's, and I was like, "Wait, am I spelling it wrong?" And I looked it up, and I was like, "No, okay."
Really never thought of that.
Yeah,
but thank you guys for joining. I feel like I'm going to make this go for another minute because we're at 99 minutes and 8 seconds. Perfect. So like, you got to hit 100, right? Or maybe I should try to end it right at 99.99. But thank you. Thank you for joining me. It was fun. Loved the conversation. Loved every minute of it. Thanks to everybody else for joining. As far as breakfast cereal is concerned, I have a new episode dropping on Friday that I'm really excited about. My thumbnail person is texting me in the background of this right now. I'll be talking with them after this, and I'll be editing a marathon worth of editing between today and tomorrow to have the episode ready for you guys Friday. I'll release it 3 o'clock. And really excited for what's to come. Next week on Breakfast for Dinner Live, I'll be joined by a gentleman who is interviewing all kinds of serial killers that are on death row and has had correspondence with people like BTK and actually owns a bunch of artwork that they've sent to him. So that'll be interesting too. Ooh. But until then, thanks again. Camping is canceled.
Thank you.
Thanks again, everybody. Smash those hearts and those like buttons on this live for us. And we'll talk to you all soon.
Bye.
Bye.